this cannot be where the disciples thought their movement was going. Fleeing in terror as Jesus was arrested, watching him executed before their eyes, this cannot be how they thought their story was going to play out. This past Wednesday, a week ago, I got a text from one of my newest queer faith friends in Nashville. I know this is last minute, they wrote, but can you come to Nashville to be here on Saturday? I'm planning a prayer service as a counter narrative to all the hate being directed at trans folks as a result of the shooting. Roberto Shea Espinoza is a trans Christian ethicist who teaches at Duke Divinity. He lives in Nashville. He is an amazing cook who believes in the power of community, bringing people together over food, just like we do here. I thought about this invitation for about 90 seconds before saying, if I can get a flight that I can afford, I'll be there. That evening, my plane ticket in hand, Roberto called to tell me, the drag ban is set to go into effect on Saturday. We're having a rally, then a march to the Capitol. We've gotten death threats, so we're likely to put clergy up front in the march. You'll be our guards. I sat down and took a deep breath. We hung up and I called my lawyer. I could see that it was time finally to get serious about updating my will. You know, Queer Virtue came out in the spring of 2016. Maybe you remember the spring of 2016. We were about to elect our first woman president. It was a time of such hope. As I sat there on the phone, listening to it ring in my lawyer's office, I thought, this is not where I thought our movement was going. Our reading tonight starts in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's the last time that the disciples will be with Jesus before he is killed. He asks something so simple of them. Sit here. Sit. The Greek is kathizo, root of our word cathedral. Seems like it was maybe just a week ago that Jesus renamed Peter and told him, on this rock I will build my church. Tonight, in this garden, Jesus needs his rock, his church, to step up. While all the others sit, he asks Peter and James and John to come with him a little farther on. Stay here and stay awake with me. Stay awake, also translated watch, keep watch. Was Jesus asking them to be his guards? He goes off to pray in terrible distress. When he comes back, Peter and the others are kathudo. It's like kathizo sitting, but kind of like extreme sitting. Okay, they're asleep. Thanks, church. Fine guards y'all make. Jesus goes off to pray again. He comes back and finds them sleeping again. You know, I've studied this text for decades, and this week, for the first time, I heard Matthew say that their eyes were heavy. It's a defense mechanism, I realized. They're terrified. Of course they can't keep their eyes open. Who wants to see Jesus like this? Jesus goes off to pray one last time. He comes back, wakes them up again. A mob shows up to arrest him, and the disciples run for their lives. The next morning, Thursday, Roberto called me again. The threats have gotten overwhelming. We've decided to cancel the rally and the march. Relief flooded through my body. Dodge that bullet, literally. The prayer service was still risky, but at least we wouldn't be marching through a gun-infested mob. Breathing a bit easier, I finally sat down to call my kids. Jasper saw immediately why it was important for me to go to Nashville. He'd already been paying close attention to news reports of the Covenant School shooting. Did you know that there have been 3,000 mass shootings in the country since 2018? He said to me angrily. Three of them were committed by people who maybe were trans. He was upset about the anti-trans rhetoric, worried about the anti-trans laws. Still, he said, my call shifted his perspective. It's one thing to think it must be scary to be trans in Nashville right now, he said. It's something else to think my mother is gonna be there. I wanted to reassure him, but also I needed to know that he, of all people, was with me, next to me, awake, watching. Before we hung up, I asked him for his blessing. It was a big ask. He took a deep breath before saying, I give you my blessing. The Episcopal Church teaches that in observing Good Friday, we're supposed to keep Easter in view. We're not supposed to lose ourselves in these terrifying events as if they took place outside the hope of the resurrection. I get it, and I wonder, is it a cop-out for those of us in the church, and especially for those of us in the white church? Does keeping Easter in view make it easier for us to sit in our cathedrals when things get scary and just, you know, fall asleep? During the healing service in Nashville, a woman thanked me for coming all the way from New York. I'm a therapist, she said. I work with adolescents who are trans. Most of my clients' families are making plans to leave Tennessee now that their kids can't get medical assistance here. How many families are we talking about? I asked. 15 of my families are definitely moving. 12 more are actively considering it. 27 families. And that's one practitioner in one city, in one state, where these laws are passing. New York, thankfully, is a destination state for many of these families. This woman told me that she's working with other therapists in Nashville trying to pull together resources. They need help navigating the basics up here, housing, employment, healthcare. She's coming to New York in just a couple of weeks, and she asked, could I introduce her to someone who might be doing this work, organizing these kinds of resources on this end? This time it didn't take me 90 seconds to respond. Yes, I said, I'll find someone. My mind flashed on the church communities that I've known that have participated in refugee resettlement, because that's kind of what this feels like. That's a great role for churches, really. Offering sanctuary is a kind of help that many churches can grasp immediately as a Christian mission. And these families need help that can start on a dime. So when I got back to New York, my first call was not to someone sitting in a cathedral, nor to our National Church office on 2nd Avenue. My first call was to my closest friend at the Anti-Violence Project, a queer and trans-led organization that completely understands the urgency of the moment. My friend responded instantly. She had immediate thoughts about people to connect with. We're having lunch on Monday to start planning. Still, this isn't where I thought our movement was going. I can't tell you how relieved I was when the wheels of my plane hit the tarmac at JFK on Sunday night, but Roberto and Aaron and RJ and Janie and so many more are still in Nashville. They and thousands of others were at the Capitol just yesterday as the legislature voted to expel two black legislators for protesting Tennessee's lax gun laws. Roberto has a security team to guard him. Most trans folks do not. Roberto continues to believe in the power of community, continues to cook delicious meals to bring people together. If Easter is at all peeking through behind this moment of terror, that's where I can imagine it, at Roberto's dinner table. Here tonight, we stand at the foot of the cross. It is a time of risk and danger, and the need is tremendous. We don't know where this is going, but here we are. Will we stay? Will we keep watch? When we gather tomorrow to celebrate new life, will we forget the faraway violence and fall asleep? Or will we observe Easter with Good Friday in view? Will we bring the hope of resurrection to a world that needs it desperately? How is our story going to play out?